So what is he conveying with his message, especially since, in general, Yaakov's trying to minimize his success. It's not really good to flash his success because then he's too jealous. So he says, I have limited material, not as if I've been so successful, don't worry, the brachas haven't come true, you want to downplay it, not overstate it. Yet he describes Shor v'chamot son v'yavid v'shivcha. So Medrash has two versions, and there's similarities between them, and then a few differences. Yaakov wasn't just thinking about oxen and donkeys and slaves and servants. He was thinking about larger parts of Jewish experience that brace you against fear and uncertainty. Whenever a Jew faces uncertainty in this world, and Yaakov's facing the ultimate uncertainty in Sefer Bereishis, what do you look to for theological and psychological reinforcement? What do you gain confidence from? So the more famous one, which Rashi quotes, Shor zeh Mashiach milchama. Shenemar b'chor shor hadolah. He says, I've got Mashiach coming down the line, so I'm not so worried about this momentary encounter. I'm assured of a redemptive endpoint that is conveyed in part by Mashiach milchama, Yosef's Mashiach. Chamor zeh melech ha-Mashiach, because the pasuk in Zechariah describes the melech ha-Mashiach as arriving on a donkey. So Yaakov's saying, long term, I don't have to worry. And then he says, Tzon elu Yisrael. We're called Hashem's sheep, and he quotes a pasuk in Yechezkel and Medrash, V'atem tzoni, and Eved v'shivcha, we're seen by you as an Eved v'shivcha. Hinei ki'ina v'adam yadav danahem, telim kuf chav gimel, we're treated by Hashem as if we're shivcha. So, as I said before, this is how a Jew processes fear and uncertainty and confrontation. On the one hand, you think about long term, that even though we may face short term fear and intimidation, long-term, there's a redemptive cycle that we're part of. There's a redemptive cycle of history. And if you feel part of the larger narrative of Jewish history, then what happens to you in your life isn't as important as the larger story of Am Yisrael and their redemption. So Yaakov says, even though, let's say, in theory, Yaakov may die, at this point he has 11 children. And those 11 children are already going to continue his legacy, and Jewish history will continue. And Yaakov doesn't want to die because a Jew never has a death wish. One of the ways you brace yourself against personal tragedy is by putting your own life into a larger cycle, a larger narrative. So he says, even though I'm afraid, I don't know how this will all land, I know that there's a Mashiach Melchama, I know that there's a Melech Mashiach, Shor Zeh Mashiach Shel Yosef, Chamor Zeh Mashiach Ben David Rochev Al Chamor. A second way you brace yourself, and this is good because it's December, and December is always a hard month for Jews because of all the pogroms and all the suffering we had during the month of December. Another way you brace yourself is you think about your relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that we're not just a nation, we're called HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Tzon, we're Ovdei Hashem, we're Eved V'Shivcha, and because of that, we're Zocha to a surpassing level of Hashgacha. Hashem cares about us in ways and attends to our needs in ways that are personal and precise, and that even though if we just had to parse the situation based on normal statistics, it wouldn't look so well, or wouldn't look so favorable. We believe in HaKadosh Baruch Hu's special Hashgacha. And when you look back at human history and Jewish history, it's a great anthropological miracle that a nation could survive so much anger, so much hostility, so much anti-Semitism, without a people, without a nation, without a people, without a homeland, without an army. So Yaakov's saying, I'm thinking about the long term, and that's helping me get past this moment. And I'm also thinking about my relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu and our relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. There's a different version to the Medrash. A couple of, about 10 pages later, the Medrash maintains the same associations of Shor v'Chamor. Shor is Melech Mashiach, but Chamor now switches. Chamor is not now Mashiach himself riding on a donkey. Chamor is now Yisachar. What could have possibly boosted Yaakov's confidence about Yisachar? Why is Yisachar differently? Why is Yisachar referred to as a Chamor? It's based on the pasuk in Vayichi. Yisachar Chamor Gorim, Rovitz Ben Mishpasayim. So the reference of a donkey in Parshas Vayishlach is an allusion to Yisachar, because Yisachar is called a donkey in the Berachos Yaakov. Why is Yaakov thinking about a donkey, thinking about Yisachar, when he has his confrontation with Esav? So the Medrash says, because Yisachar knows HaKadosh Baruch Hu's workings in this world, because Yisachar were astronomers or astrologers, they were able to predict the new moons, they were able to determine the new moons. Yisachar, Yodei Bina Le'itim, they're understanding the planetary movements. So how does that work? So even when the world around you sometimes collapses and feels dark and Jews suffer, we have this inner world called Talmud Torah. We have this inner world called Beis Medrash. We have this inner world called the eternal world of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And that's the third way to escape current crisis and momentary panic and fear. You don't just think long-term historically about Melech Mashiach. You don't just think about your special relationship with Hashem, but you realize you're part of eternity, not just redemption. Redemption isn't eternal. Redemption is of this world. You're part of something larger. I remember during the Intifada, it was very hard for me in yeshiva. And when I say hard, I don't mean hard, chas v'shalom, in the sense that it was hard for many people who suffered the actual Intifada. But Beis Medrash life continued, and Beis Medrash life was unaffected by it. And to a degree, it has to continue, because that's what Torah is. And Torah has thrived under the most intolerable, horrific, monstrous conditions in history. You think about the Balei HaTosfos living through the Crusades. Just think about that for a moment. They lived through the most painful anti-Semitic period in history. They were being murdered and butchered and persecuted and forcibly baptized. And yet out of this whole nightmare came the Balei HaTosfos. Because Jews never refused to shut down Torah. Because Torah is always a place that you run to as a refuge. And of course, you don't want to run to it away from people suffering. But this is what Yaakov's saying. I have my child, Yisachar. He's going to know the ways of Hashem. He's part of eternity. He's not just part of this world. He's part of the upper worlds and the planets. So it's fascinating to hear Yaakov not speaking to Esav, but Yaakov speaking to himself. Yaakov telling himself, how do I face this fear? I face the fear by speaking about Geula. I face the fear by thinking about Hashgacha. I face the fear by thinking about Talmud Torah and the eternity and the transcendence of Talmud Torah, which allows me to partially escape from the frustrations and the darkness and the bleakness which sometimes this world offers. Okay, one other medrash, very interesting medrash, where Yaakov is speaking to Hashem, and he says, he's not really speaking to Hashem, he's speaking to his assistants, his colonels. He says, "V'revach tasima ben," oh, you have to go to the bus at 8? "V'revach tasima ben edel edel." Make sure there's space between each camp. So, strategically, because that will give the other camp time to recover, time to prepare an ambush. It's always wise militarily to split up your forces in certain cases. But Rashi, the Medrash says that Yaakov is actually speaking to Hashem. "V'revach tasima ben edel edel," because Yaakov sees in this confrontation with Esav a blueprint for future Jewish galus. Because he's now facing Esav, and Esav will be the ancestor of Rome. And Rome will be the empire that drives the long galus. It's not Rome per se, but it's Western civilization, Christianity, which are seeded, S-E-E-D-E-D, seeded in Rome. Rome seeds Christianity. When it becomes Christian in the 4th century, Rome seeds Western civilization. So Rome is that 4th empire, and it's that long galus, and he realizes that what will happen in his encounter with Esav will cascade and will reproduce itself in our long galus. So it's a template. Ma'aseh Avosim Labanim isn't just moral example, but it's historical templates. They're creating patterns that repeat themselves. So he asks Hashem, as the matter says, "I know my people will suffer. I know my children will suffer. There'll be difficult periods. But I want there to be periods of respite between the suffering. I don't want it to be one long torrent of hatred and hostility and anti-Semitism. I know that Galus will be a punishment for the two Churban Beis HaMikdash. I know that Am Yisrael deserves the Galus and has to, in some ways, expurgate its sin by enduring this Galus. And I know it's going to be a difficult and a bloody Galus. But at least let there be periods of respite so that they can recover, rebuild, rearm themselves, reconstitute their communities. And as you look through history, as much as we've suffered, there always has been a revach ben eder leder for Jewish communities to rebuild themselves. There was a revach between the Crusades and between some of the hatred of the 14th century in some Western Europe. There's a revach between the Spanish Inquisition, which is a great, great blow to the Jewish people, and let's say the Chamaniki Rebellion, which took hundreds of thousands of Jews in the 17th century. There were always revach ben eder leder. We're now experiencing a very interesting phase, because on the one hand, it's a revach ben eder leder, because after the Holocaust, Jewish communities around the world have rebuilt themselves. Of course, the ominous part of that is that there's an insinuation that there's another wave coming. Sadly, we feel that wave. The only difference is now we have Eretz Yisrael, which is an equation difference maker. Now we don't have to just be at the mercy of Polish, Russian, French, Iraqi, Syrian authorities. Now we actually have our people, we have our army, and we have a solution to anti-Semitism. We can move home. We can move to a place where there's no anti-Semitism, at least no internal anti-Semitism. We're thwarted in our efforts by anti-Semitism to build our country, but the country itself is anti-Semitism in Israel. So it's interesting to see Yaakov starting to build the future, to build patterns for the future. For Achtasim and Adelaide, that Jews have shown incredible resurgence, incredible ability to revitalize themselves so quickly. If you take Israel out of the equation of modern history, which is very hard, because I think it's just so central to everything, even things that happened in Chicago and things that happened in Long Island, but if you take Israel out of the equation, it's amazing to see Jewish communities rebuild themselves in such force after the Holocaust. I think in part it's because of the Jewish pride that the state of Israel gives, and the knowledge that there's a place to run to, so it gives us pride, it gives us confidence. But it is interesting to see how we've been able to rebuild ourselves so quickly. So two interesting midrashim. One is, how do you brace yourself against fear? So Yaakov thinks about Hashgacha, Mashiach, and Torah. Number two is, he's asking Hashem, whatever Golus will throw the way of my children, let it be stunted rather than continuous. Okay? Enjoy the TO, guys. How long is the TO for? Till when?
Back at 3.
Back at 3. Okay, see everyone at 3 in the session.